This is Olive, and I'm 11 years old, and I live in Southside.
This is Cooper, and I'm 4 years old.
This is Elena. I'm 13 years old and live in Spickley.
We're at Maroon High School, and you're listening to the Kingsburg Podcast.
Welcome to the Kingsburg Podcast. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yuling Chang, Kingsburg's director, and I'm excited to be here with my Kingsburg friends for another podcast that will inspire families and share new ideas for you and your kids.
And hi, I'm Christine Sorensen, an anchor at KDKA-TV and Kingsburg producer, and we are excited for today's interview with a Pittsburgh teacher who helps break down what is AI, or artificial intelligence. Plus, we ask local teenagers for their honest insights and ask how they are using AI today.
Hi, everyone. I'm Melissa Rayworth, editor at Kingsburg.org. We love starting each podcast with a Pittsburgh gem, a cool place or a resource that you might not know about, but that you and your kids will love and appreciate. Today, we're excited to learn about the Just Between Friends sale from Christine.
Well, I have been buying and selling clothes, toys, baby equipment at the Just Between Friends consignment sales for about 15 years. And I usually go twice a year, so I am a regular. And I have found that I have, number one, saved so much money. This is especially great if you need a second of something, like maybe grandma or grandpa needs a pack and play or an extra high chair or a stroller. So maybe it's not the main one you got in your baby shower or something, but you need just an extra one to tag along. Or things like toddler toys, like the ride-on toys that my kids would, you know, make circles in the kitchen or out in the driveway on. Dollhouses, books. I love getting books there because sometimes they read it and then they're done, especially for older kids. And then even for my kids and teens, especially getting them things like winter jackets because they outgrow them, you know, every year, every other year. Things like Halloween costumes. And in addition, I would sometimes find really nice designer clothes for really good prices. And you know, kids just grow so fast and it all adds up so much. So basically you're going to find everything about 50 to 90% off retail. It's all equipment and clothes and toys that people from your area are selling. So I also love the recycling part of it. It motivates me to clean out what we've got, what the kids aren't using anymore. I love knowing that someone else is going to use it. And when you sell, you earn 60%. The average seller earns about $350 per sale. So that can really add up. It's just a great place. It's around the country. There's several different areas within the Pittsburgh area that I've been to.
I think everybody is embracing the idea of resale and buying secondhand stuff, as you said, for environmental reasons and for financial reasons. And because, like you said, with kids, they go through things so quickly that I love the idea that maybe it's the tricycle or it's some sort of like play structure for your backyard. Someone may want that for 3 or 4 years, but then their kids have grown out of it and it's still in great shape.
And I'm just thinking about all the bins I have in my basement right now, full of toys that I just packed up that my kids have outgrown. And some of them are in such great condition. I keep thinking, I shouldn't be putting this in a bin. What should I do with it? So this is really a fantastic resource. And do you just go to their website and figure out how to sign up to be a part of the next Just Between Friends?
Exactly. They walk you through exactly how to sell your stuff. And it's a very easy process.
That's so great that they give you advice on how to do this, because I think that's what I find intimidating is like, how do I start, right? So they've demystified this process.
Yeah, they make it fun. You show up, there's tons of other families there, and I get so excited because I will literally leave with like 10 to 20 things, a huge bag of stuff, and I can't even believe that it's sometimes, you know, anywhere from $5 to $10 an item. It's just unbelievable when I would have probably paid five times that in a retail store. And we'll have a link to Just Between Friends at kingsburg.org/podcast.
Pittsburgh is Kingsburg. You're listening to the Kingsburg Podcast.
Today, we are in the world of AI, or artificial intelligence. At Kingsburg, we have many questions about AI, and more importantly, we want to learn how AI will impact our kids. When we started to think more about AI, we realized it's just another tool, like when the television was invented or when Apple launched the first iPhone. We're excited for our guest today, Mr. Scott Tuffiash. Scott is a public school teacher with 20 years of experience teaching language arts, a National Geographic Teacher of the Week, and recently named the Pennsylvania Public School Board Innovative Teacher Award winner. This is an award he received for his work in incorporating AI into school curriculum. So with that, let's dive into the world of AI. Scott, welcome.
Thanks.
So Scott, the concept of artificial intelligence, or AI, started as far back as the 1950s, but it feels like it's really just starting to take hold in our everyday lives now. It's even in our smartphones. It's in so many things that we interact with every day. So, Scott, we want to start with a really simple question. What exactly is AI?
Well, I'd like to go back to a phrase that you used a little bit earlier and kind of accentuate that. AI is basically a really fast, powerful tool that runs off a program or a language.
And so that's an interesting, right, explanation of AI. I oftentimes think of AI as like a machine or a robot, but I'm learning it's something that we have to almost train how to use. So can you explain like how it works? Like, what do you do with it?
Sure. Well, I'd like to borrow from a really bright mind on this topic. Her name is Karen Howe. And in 2018, she wrote up a chart that kind of helps you think about if a machine is using artificial intelligence or not. She offered five core questions. Does it seem like the machine can see, hear, read, move, and reason? So if it does seem like the machine can do any one of those, you're probably seeing some type of machine use some type of artificial intelligence. And there are more specific categories on how the machine is using patterns. There's categories like natural language processing or computer vision and image processing, machine learning, speech processing. But whenever you might speak into whatever device you have, essentially those five questions can help you sort out how there's artificial intelligence working.
And so at Avonworth High School, you teach two courses on AI. One is called Human Flourishing, and the other is called AI and Ethics. We would love to hear more about these classes.
Sure. Well, I'll start with the AI and Ethics course. I'm currently teaching that right now. Some of the people that are in the room are in the class. So I think what's important for us to recognize is that if we have these incredibly powerful tools, they are still just tools. Ethics have been a way to think about ourselves and the way we try to live a good life far before any modern tools, including computers. So first of all, this is a one-semester class looking at the combination of ethics, an ancient concept, and artificial intelligence, like you mentioned, something that really dates back to the 1950s. And it's a course that allows an opportunity to look at both challenges and opportunities for using these tools and considering how we might live a better life or a worse one at the same time in this era of rapidly developing artificial intelligence. So that's the goal for the AI and Ethics course. The Human Flourishing course is a little bit different. Instead of the focus on the tools themselves, it's really an opportunity to look at ways we're being offered in 2024 and beyond to approach living a good life. So to that degree, it's kind of re-seeing philosophy, but in this era where we have these incredibly potent tools and asking ourselves, how can we use them to live a good life?
I guess, are you finding that as people hear about these classes, they're sort of comforted by the idea that we hear a lot about the reasons we should be sort of nervous about AI, but as you said, these are tools. You're looking at ways that we can use these things in a positive way. Do people find that encouraging?
I think so. It's a little bit hard to tell right now because this is the first time we're doing this in a public school, and there's a lot of feedback, but I guess reflecting on the feedback is something that'll come a little bit later. But I would say that for many of us, myself included, if you go back 10 years, if we were aware of artificial intelligence, it was kind of a passing concept or something that felt more like science fiction or lab research or very technical. And now we're in this era where we see marketing frequently about artificial intelligence. So I think for most of us, when we're able to start to sort out the difference between maybe AI hype and then actual practical usages of a tool, that helps sort of calm down a little bit of the maybe worry or concern about where AI is in our daily lives.
And AI is so interesting. Like, I think about what you're sharing of how do we use it and how do we flourish even more. And I'll just give two examples I heard about AI recently. So one is using AI to map out where all the potholes are in a city and to fix it and to be ahead of the curve, right, and to repair the roads. That was one example I heard. Another is AI is now able to read scans, x-ray scans for medical appointments almost better than the human eye. And in some ways, they're able to catch things earlier to help with your health. So there's really interesting big questions here as to what AI can do for us. And Scott, I don't know if there's anything you want to share on that. Like, how do you see AI being used generally?
Well, I first wanted to highlight some of my coworkers have been working with a program called Data Jam, which has been in public schools for a number of years. And the pothole scenario is one that I think kind of mirrors what they've been doing with students for a number of years, which is looking at a problem and trying to look at very large data sets and using artificial intelligence to come up with practical solutions to make our days better. So that's been a feature that's been around for a little while, maybe without the hype.
So Scott, I know today you have your journalism class with you as a live audience. So hello, everyone. This is very exciting for us to have a live audience for this podcast recording.
Hello.
Hi.
But, you know, this is making us wonder, like, how is AI already in our kids' lives? You just gave one example with Data Jam. What else is happening?
Well, I think to go back to what I mentioned earlier, there's so many devices we have that seem to hear or read or see or move or reason. And whether they're home devices or certainly our cell phones, you can make the argument that there's artificial intelligence applications in all of those. So for many people, they've grown up with artificial intelligence in devices around them. And that's probably, I think, the best way to explain how widespread artificial intelligence is at this point, unless, of course, there are people that choose a more low-tech life in their home. And in that regard, maybe artificial intelligence is something that they'll see more at like a workplace.
So here in Pittsburgh, there was recently a conference called Human First AI Innovations for a Better World. And this conference drew tech leaders and CEOs from all different businesses, educators, and nonprofits all together discussing this. The conversation was about how to use AI so that society benefits. What do we need to know about AI and how we can use it safely? Given your knowledge, what would you tell someone who's kind of new to discovering all this, what they can keep in mind if they want to use it safely and want our culture to use it safely?
Well, I'm not too familiar with that conference, so I'd probably defer to a lot of the people that are there since they spend a lot more time studying it. But I guess at least at the course that I'm teaching here, I think a great step for all of us to reflect on is that in 1955, we had natural intelligence, and we still had a lot to learn about ourselves and how to relate to each other. So now we have this artificial intelligence that started in 1956. So I think a good place to start is just how are we trying to live a good life daily anyway, and really know what that path is and understand that about ourselves and the people around us. And then once we understand that, we can start to figure out how to add artificial tools to reach towards that good.
It makes a lot of sense, right? Like, make sure you know who you are first before you start adding more tools and trying to do more with it.
Yeah.
As opposed to diving right in. Okay, one more question. How have your students reacted to the use of AI? Is it just second nature to them? Is it something that they have to learn as well? I imagine, like, my daughter came home the other day. She's in middle school. And we were talking about AI, and she showed me this presentation. She's like, I created this image using artificial intelligence. I was amazed.
Certainly some of the tools are incredibly potent. I think it's been a wide range. I mean, at this point, it's been in high schools for 2 years. So almost every student has had to kind of go through their own sort of reflection about what should I use? When should I use? Can I use it? Is it okay? Teacher to teacher, is it okay? And probably for your listening audience, school to school, is it okay? They're all really good questions to ask about seeing this tool, using it for math or science or writing or all sorts of applications. So it's a pretty wide range. I think in my particular class, we're intentionally using multiple large language models. So it's quite a different approach compared to most of my fellow teachers who maybe are just juggling with when to use it, should it be used, is it okay to use. So it's a pretty wide range. It's hard for me to narrow down to just kind of one reaction.
That is really interesting. And I guess the point we're all at is we're asking a lot of questions. Like you said, it's revolving around how do we use it? When do we use it? What's in the best interest of everybody? So interesting. Well, thank you so much, Scott, for your time. And we appreciate your class being here, too. We're excited that this is a subject we're probably going to be exploring for a while. Thank you so much.
I really loved how Scott said that when it comes to AI, we really need to think about what we want to use it for, because I know my kids are already using it for schoolwork, a lot of times in really positive ways. It's saving time, but I also know that it's changing a lot of industries, things like coding. My son is really excited about coding. He spent a lot of time learning coding, and now I'm finding out that everything he's learned is being done by AI. But I'm also finding that that doesn't mean it wasn't important for him to learn it, because you still need to understand the basics. It's just that the skills that will be needed are changing.
Yeah, that is interesting that you need that fundamental understanding. So learning it is important, but maybe he's going to end up in the future working with some sort of programming where AI is helping him write code that would have taken him a long time to write, but then he's building on that and doing something even better.
Exactly.
And I appreciate how it was framed as AI is another tool in the toolbox. And that tool is only going to be as good as you can make it, right? And so that is why our kids are still going to learn how to read, how to do math, how to do coding, because they need those skills in order to improve AI. And then they can build upon what AI gives them to do what they want to do next. I mean, I think it's so interesting that there are already classes being taught on AI in schools.
There's no value in saying, this is causing me stress, I don't want to think about it right now. We all need to learn what it's currently capable of. And for each of us, what could we be doing more of, whether it's some creative project or something like that, in our own lives, and make use of it?
Well, hopefully AI will figure out how to make my laundry bins go down faster.
You're listening to the Kidsburg Podcast.
Pittsburgh is Kidsburg.
It's time for Tea with Teens, where we ask them, how are teens using AI today?
One way that I'm already using AI is when I'm Googling something, Google has their new AI that like gather all the information of what you asked from other websites. It's much easier to use that instead of like scrolling through every single website trying to see everybody's opinion.
My dad, he takes every single opportunity he can get. He uses a bunch of AI programs. Since I'm homeschooled, all of our lessons for the day, he uses AI to help him like create the lessons and find different subjects. But, you know, as an artist, I think AI can be scary.
It can be really helpful, like not to do your schoolwork, but like if you miss a day during school and you're like, oh, I'm so confused on like a specific math thing, like substitution. It can tell you how to do that, and it can like help you work through your problems.
My school has downloaded Grammarly onto our computers, leaving me with AI, which I do enjoy Grammarly a bit, but still don't like AI. People are given too much freedom with AI, and they use it in not so good ways. Like, for example, getting the AI to make art for them and claiming it as their own.
I hate AI. That's just my opinion. I think it is been made by this very capitalist society to be able to exploit the workers. I don't believe it should be used to make art, but I do think in some circumstances it can be good as a tool. When I'm editing, there's like an AI tool where you're able to more easily erase the background of an image instead of like fully doing green screen and whatnot. And that is not taking away from any artists or any workers. That is just aiding in editing.
This has been such an interesting episode. We learned about AI and how it's a tool that schools and students are embracing. And we got the perspective of teens on how they're actually using AI. Plus, we learned about a hidden gem, a resource called Just Between Friends that's helping families. And we got plenty more inspiration and ideas coming in the next Kidsburg podcast episodes.
That's right. We have just launched 6 more episodes to our podcast series. If you miss any of the ones we've already released, you can go back and listen to them whenever you have a moment.
Just go to kidsburg.org/podcast to find them all. And be sure to sign up for our free weekly Kidsburg newsletter for all the intel on resources and events that can help you raise the kids you love in the Pittsburgh region and beyond. Thanks for joining us for the Kidsburg Podcast.
This is Rocco. I'm in 7th grade and homeschooled, and this is the Kidsburg Podcast.
Stay tuned for more podcasts to drop in 2025.
Until then, we hope you'll visit kidsburg.org to learn about the resources and advice from local experts that can help all kids have the best opportunity to thrive.